think health is connected to happiness. If we're healthy, we tend to be happier. And many people spend their entire lives trying to be happy, trying to find or trying to have a life that is filled with joy. However, most people, and I would say most people, including Christians, including myself, we tend to seek joy in one form or another from the world, either through status and position or material wealth, financial gain, or fame and family. But as the author of Ecclesiastes found out, that's like chasing after the wind. The author of Ecclesiastes is Solomon, believed to be Solomon. And Solomon, when he became king, God said, "Ask me for anything and it'll be yours." And Solomon thought about it and he said, "I want wisdom." And God said, "You have chosen well. And because you've chosen well, I will give you everything else as well." And so Solomon had all of this stuff, but in his wisdom, he sought for what is the purpose of life? Why are we here? You know, what is, you know, life should be joyful. Where do we find that? And so he went searching for it. And he says that he tried wisdom and knowledge. He studied everything under the heavens, and he gained a lot of knowledge, but not necessarily joy. And if we continue to read in chapter 2, he tells us that he turned to pleasure. He threw massive parties and the wine flowed like the Susquehanna River. And they laughed and they danced. But there was no real complete joy in that. So then he turned to work and he built magnificent buildings and gardens. But still no joy. Then he turned to accumulating stuff, and he had the greatest herds and the flocks in the world. Still nothing. He turned to treasures and he amassed great wealth of gold and silver. Then he turned to women and had 700 wives and 300 concubines. Still found no pleasure. That's no hit at you, ladies. This is Mother's Day. We love you. But Solomon couldn't find joy in the opposite sex. He turned to power and became one of the most powerful men in all the world. And he says that he denied himself absolutely nothing. But in the end of it, at the end of the day, he said, it's all like chasing after the wind. Many of us today chase the wind, desperately seeking purpose and joy in life. But Jesus offers a better way. In our gospel lesson this morning, Jesus says in verse 9 and 10, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed the Father's commands and remained in his love." Now, just prior to saying this, he had just taught the parable of the vine and branches and spoke of the importance of the branch needing to stay connected, needing to be in the vine. Now he's saying the same thing. He's just using different language. He's being much more clear and direct. Just as a branch must remain in the vine, we must remain in Christ. And there's one thing that'll help us to remain in him, and that is love. Now, if we are to remain in Jesus' love the way he remains in the Father's love, then we need to go about it the same way that Jesus did, and that was through obedience. Jesus said, "If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love." Because obedience is proof of our love for God and Christ. Jesus' love for his Father was shown by being obedient, even unto death on a cross. And so we should show our love. It should be all in for Christ. And why does Jesus want us to share in his love and remain in him and be obedient? He tells us in verse 11, "So that my joy, the joy that I share with God the Father Almighty, the joy in paradise, the joy of everlasting life, the joy of never, you know, dying or being sick, all this joy that I have in me," he said, "my joy, that it may be in you, that your joy may be complete." Can we find joy in this world? Yes, we can. But it's not complete. It's incomplete. You know, we go out and we can find things in the world that bring us pleasure, but it's just fleeting. How many of you have eaten something and you're like, oh, that was the best thing I've ever eaten in my life? Uh-huh. You discovered that thing. And what did you do for the next 2 weeks? You ate it every single day, didn't you? And then after about 2 weeks, you're going, just doesn't quite have that kick it had the first time you tasted it. And, you know, it's just not bringing you quite the pleasure that it once did. And so what do? You go looking for the next good thing. My kids do that all the time. They're like, oh, I want, you know, strawberry Pop-Tarts. And they're just eating them. So we go to Sam's Club and we get a truckload of them. And after 2 weeks, we still got 3/4 of a truckload of them. And we can't get rid of them because that pleasure was fleeting. Now, we do that with more than just food, don't we? We go after things. If I only had a, you know, I have a vehicle, a truck that works great right now, but if I only had this one, it would bring me more happiness, more pleasure, more joy. If I only had this house or this job, I would be more joyful. But the world can't bring us that kind of joy. It's incomplete. But Jesus can and does offer us complete, his complete joy, which is comes from love and obedience. It's like the old Reese's peanut butter cup commercial, two great tastes in one, right? Chocolate plus peanut butter equals Reese's. Well, in this case, it's love plus obedience equals joy. If we love Jesus and are obedient, then the blessed result is joy. Now, as we read farther along, you know, although we are seeking joy in all kinds of places, and even though we can find that in Jesus, we did not choose it. We did not choose Christ, but he has chosen us, meaning each one of us sitting here today has been chosen for joy. When I was a kid in school, in elementary school, in the spring, every day for recess, we would play softball. And the first business that had to be taken up was picking teams. So two people were chosen to pick a team, and they would face off, and someone would throw a bat up, and one would catch it. And then we'd do this, right? How many remember that? Right. And whoever did this got to pick first. Was there anything better than being picked for a team, especially first? But man, there was nothing worse than not getting picked. Getting picked last, and you're just waiting. But here's the thing, is that Jesus, if you're searching for joy, Jesus has told us he's already chosen us. He's chosen us to be on his team, Team Eternal, Team Joy. And if we're searching for a joyful life, then hear me, Christ has already chosen you for his joy. Jesus has chosen us for joy, his joy, complete joy. Now, I must point out that joy shouldn't be confused with or equated with pleasure. As I've already indicated, many things in life bring us pleasure, but that doesn't last, and it doesn't lead to true joy. Further, there are many things in life that are unpleasant, that bring us down, but that doesn't mean we can't have joy in life. Paul was shipwrecked twice. He was beaten. He was left to rot in jail. Was he happy? No. Was he, you know, feeling pleasure? No. Did he have joy? Absolutely. And it was that joy that allowed him to be able to sing his praises to God, even in his suffering. Christ has chosen us for joy, even when life gets tough. The fact that we are working toward being better Christians is a reason to find joy. Singer-songwriter Michael Card has a song called Joy in the Journey, and he sings, there is a joy in the journey. There's a light we can love on the way. There is a wonder and wildness to life and freedom for those who obey. There's a wildness to life out there. There's this adventure, and it's all ours for the grasping, and we can conquer that wildness. He says there's freedom for those who obey, who listen to Christ. We are free to go out and enjoy all of that. And we can control this wildness of the world through obedience, not to the world, but to God. He also says that there's a light that we can love on the way of this journey, and that is the light of Christ. Jesus said, I have told you this. Or Jesus said, if you keep my commands, if you obey me, you will abide in my love, the love of his light, the love of his glory. And he says, I've told you this so that my joy, this joy that just overflows from me, can be yours, and that your joy can be complete. Love plus obedience, it equals joy. You know, so many of us, we have jobs and things, and our jobs aren't always fun. They're not always pleasant. You know, we go through them, and sometimes we dread going. But, you know, we do them. And I pray that if you are able to use the gifts and talents that God has given you to better yourself, to better whoever you work for, or your own business, to better your community, to better the world, that you can find some joy in knowing that you're using these gifts that God has given you to the best of your ability. No matter what the job is, but if God has blessed you with this, find joy in that. And, you know, sometimes if you know that you were called to be a teacher, or you know that you were called to be an accountant, or you know that you were called to be a truck driver or a preacher or whatever it is, and you know that's where God wants you, you should find joy in knowing that you're doing what God has called you to do. And I believe Paul did that. He found, you know, he found no pleasure in exile or being beaten, but he did find joy in knowing that he was doing what God wanted him to be doing. There's always a sense of fulfillment and joy when you do what you know is right, even if it's not fun. There are some people who have told me that whenever they miss church, that it just feels wrong and there's an uneasiness and an anxiety about them. It's just not a joyful feeling, but it's unsettling. And I know how they feel because I feel that way too. But when they do, you know, go to church, they feel satisfied. They feel joyful because there is joy in doing what we know to be right. And it is right for us to gather together. It is right for us to be the body of Christ. It is right for us to raise our voices to God as one and to affirm his word. That is all right. And that brings us joy. The church should be a place of joy, a place filled with joyful people. You know, Jesus was a joyful person, and he loved to laugh, and that caused a stir because the religious leaders, they looked at John the Baptist, and they said, now there is a true Son of God. Look at him. He's plain. He lives in the desert. He eats bugs and wears dead animal hides, and he preaches doom and gloom. That is a child of God. And then there's this Jesus character who walks around, and He celebrates at weddings. He drinks wine. He carouses with the lowlifes and the sinners, and he laughs with children. Jesus was always finding things to give thanks for. Jesus found life to be a good thing, and so should we. Reverend Jerry Schmellenberger says that a gloomy Christian is a contradiction of terms, because the Christian is to be a person of joy. And one of the surest and most universal characteristics of a person whose sin has been forgiven and who is a child of God is joy. Thus, the Christian who goes around like a sad sack with a rain cloud over his head all the time and bringing other people down and so negative, they're missing the boat here. That's not what it's about. And it's only when happiness is tied to godly living that it can be synonymous with joy. Yes, it's true that we are sinners, but friends, we're redeemed sinners, amen? And in that knowledge alone, there should be a joy in our heart. We can't help but being joyful when we live our lives like Jesus. You know, too often we live on the cross side of life instead of the resurrected alive side of Christ. At church camp, we sing this old song, and if you know it, sing it with me. I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Where? Down in my heart. Where? Down in my heart. I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Where? Down in my heart. To stay. The joy of Jesus Christ, the joy of heaven, the joy of God. It's in our hearts. And it's there to stay. It's there to stay. And we need to release that. Joy is what we were chosen for, my friends. And we can have that joy if we will remain in Christ, in His love, and obey His commandments. Now, which commandments? Well, Jesus is teaching, and here Jesus stresses two of His teachings. In verse 16, He says, I appointed you to go and bear fruit. Bear fruit of the Spirit of love and joy and peace and kindness and faithfulness and self-control and gentleness. And when we bear that fruit to the world, they are drawn to us. And they know that we are God's children. They know that we are Christians by our love. We are to go and bear fruit. The second command Jesus gives us is to love one another. Man, Jesus says that a lot, doesn't He? He repeats it time and time again. And He does it because sometimes, while we're seeking to be obedient to bring others to Christ, it's easy for us to forget about loving one another. In our determination to bring others to Christ, we tend to beat them down with it, don't it? We tend to preach fire and hailstone and brimstone. And not that there's not a place for that, but we try to fear people into the kingdom of God. We try to drive them there out of fear. If you don't accept Christ right now, you're going to hell. But that's not the way Jesus did it, did He? Jesus led with love, not fear. God doesn't want us to come to Him because we're afraid of Him, because we're afraid of what's going to happen to us. God wants us to come because we know that He loves us, that we know that we're forgiven. And so we are, as Jesus led with love, He wants us to lead with love. And so He's always saying, love one another as I have loved you. And if we truly love Christ, and we will love other people, and a genuine love for the Lord will ensure obedience to Him. And therefore, at the end of the day, just like Solomon, we will conclude that the end of the matter is this: to fear God, keep His commandments. For this is the whole duty of humanity, to love one another and obey God. Love and obedience results in joy. And my friends, we were chosen by the God Almighty for joy. We were chosen for joy. So choose this day whom you will serve. Amen and amen.